Invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 42. Psalm chapter 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Wherefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar? Deep calleth unto deep the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy bellows have gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, and my God.
Good morning. Our brother has asked for John chapter 16 to be read. 16th chapter of John. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? And because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
I'd like to hear you sing 526. We'll read this hymn through and then we'll sing it. It's one that we all know real well. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. O come to the Father through his Son. Our brother talked about all the things that Jesus needed as he went through his ministry here upon this earth. And as he went all through it, through all the little things, I got to looking at my own life and I thought, how desperate do I need Jesus? We need Jesus. He needed a lot of things, but we need him. I hope by the end of today we will see how much that we need Jesus. Brother said it was Palm Sunday, and on Palm Sunday over 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that little donkey, and the people strewed out the palm branches, and they put the clothes upon the path, and they cried out. As we read in St. John chapter 12, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So they were inviting Jesus in as their King. We're not going to spend any time there, but what we want to do is, that was on this day, this Sunday, and then we have Monday, and we have Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, which we call Passion Week, which is coming up, and we would encourage you to go through the Gospels this week and just read what Jesus
Wherefore, how he was tried and how he was tempted and how the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and all them people tried to trap him. And then we come to Thursday evening, which we find in St. John chapter 13. And we'll just call it the upper room experience, where Jesus was just with his disciples after this, after Palm Sunday and Passion Week went through. Thursday evening, he was with his disciples in the upper room, and there he taught them some things. He taught them about feet washing. He taught them about the Lord's Supper, and he taught them about the communion. And then after that, Judas was excused, and we know why he was excused. Then we go into the rest of the 13th chapter, the 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, 16th chapter of St. John, and all the way up, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's talking to them, he's teaching them, and we go up to the end of the 16th chapter of St. John. Then the 17th chapter of St. John, we have the prayer that he prayed, not only for his disciples, but we believe for you and me also. Then we go into the 18th chapter of St. John, which be Friday, and we knew that was crucifixion day. So what we want to think about just a little while this morning is the last thing he told his disciples before he started praying with them. We find out in St. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is what Jesus told them. The last thing he told them before he prayed for them, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and after his prayer, that's when the soldiers came and took him away. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I guess if you want a title for the message today, it's just simply this. It's just simply, Enduring Tribulations. Enduring Tribulations. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know what your temptations are. I don't know what your disappointments are. I don't know what your discouragements are. But I can tell you there's some people here that have them. And I can tell you in the past that probably every person sitting in this meeting house has went through some kind of a trial or some kind of a struggle in their life. I don't care if you're 13, 18, 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, and Brother Roger can probably tell you it still happens in his time. And Jesus knew this when he was talking to his disciples. So he says in verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you." These things have I spoken unto you. So for just a little bit, we want to go back a few chapters, and we want to go through some of these things that Jesus told his disciples. Not only did he tell his disciples, but we got the record here that he's telling them to us today also. So let's look at these things. We want to go back into chapter 13. And in verse 33, Jesus says, little children, yet a little while I'm with thee. You shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot go. So now I say unto you. So Jesus says, I'm going to say some things unto you. I'm going to say, I'm going to speak these things. That word, I have spoken means to tell or to share. He says, I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to tell some things unto you. What's the first thing he tells them? Starting in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The first thing he tells them is, you have to love one another. That's the first thing he tells them. And how do you do that? He says, you love one another as I have loved you. He says, this is a new commandment. What he's telling them is, you go from filial love to agape love. Filial love is, if you love me, I will love you. That's filial love. Agape love says, I will love you regardless. There's no strings attached. That's what Jesus is telling them here. He says, I will, a new command I give you that you love one another as I have loved you. Unconditional and sacrificial. That's the kind of a love Jesus had. He says, by this, if you have love one for another, by this, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for another. Chapter 14, verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe ye also in me. Well, Jesus is telling me here, you have to have a faith. It's going to be a strong faith. It's going to be an overwhelming faith. Now we go down to verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I have spoken, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. We've got that a strong faith. And that's unwavering faith. We go to chapter 2, he tells us, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He tells us in verse 2, another thing, I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 3, he says, I'm coming again. These are the things that he's spoken unto them. We go down into verse 6. He says, if you want access to the Heavenly Father, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father except by me. It is only through Jesus Christ. No other way. We go to verses 13 and 14. He talks about answering our prayers. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We go to verses 16 through 26. He tells them, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. We're not going to read on him. Verse 16. But I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he might abide in you forever. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach us all things, and he's going to bring all things into remembrance. How do you remember something? You got to know it before you can remember it. That's why it's so important that we read, so important that we study, so that we will know. Because there may be a time coming when we need to remember, and he will bring what we have, what we know, what we have studied, what we have learned about into our lives for whatever that time will be. Verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, that neither your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That we have peace through Jesus Christ. That is only where our peace will come. And we'll get more on that a little bit later. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We go down, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Because you are the branches, you are to bear fruit. What is the fruit we are to bear? We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That should be manifest in our lives. That's what he tells us in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He says that he that abideth in me, when we abide in Jesus Christ. That's our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the vertical relationship. Then he says, and I in you. That's the power of his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Then he goes on and he says, for without me, you can do nothing. We need to remember that. Without him, we cannot do nothing. Verse 10, he tells us to keep his commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12, again, he reminds us that we are to love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, or I have told you. Why? That my joy might remain in you, that your joy may be full. These are things that we need to remember. These are things that he's taught us. These are things that he's telling us. We get into St. John, chapter 16, again, the promise of the Holy Spirit in verses 13 and 14. We go to verse 22, what did he tell us there? He says, now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and no man shall take it from you. In other words, joy will overcome our sorrows, is what Jesus is saying here. And then we get into verses 23 and 24, and again, is an answer, he promises to answer our prayers. That are some of these things that Jesus gives his disciples. That are some of these things that he gives us. Because with these things that we live, it gives us hope. With these things gives us courage. With these things gives us confidence. It gives us a reason to keep going. It gives us a reason to keep pressing on. That is these things that Jesus has given us. And he goes on, he says, these things have I spoken to you. And then he goes on, he says, what? That in me ye may have peace. So the question is, do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace in your life? Remember what Jesus told us in St. John 14, 27? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Do you have peace in your life? When you're in the middle of your struggle, when you're in the middle of your trial, when you're in the middle of whatever it is, do you have peace in your life? And if that answer is no, then you need to have a self-examination on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's the only place that you're going to have peace. That's the only place that you're ever going to find peace. Because Jesus says, it's not in the world. You're not going to find it out there. People search for it all the time. They do drugs, they do alcohol, they do entertainment. And the list goes on and on and on. They're searching for peace. They will never find it. It's only through Jesus, my peace I give unto you. They will never find it out in the world. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You know, that peace, it just seems to me, it means to have a quietness and a rest. You know, sometimes that's pretty difficult. When you're right in the middle of whatever it is, to have a quietness and a rest within your heart. That's why we need Jesus. It's the only place we can find peace. You're not going to find it anywhere else. The Apostle Paul writes words like these to the Philippian brethren. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. That word keep there means to protect and to guard. He says that peace of God, that passes all understanding, is going to keep your hearts and minds. How? Through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. It's only through him that you're going to have, peace. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Then he goes on, he says, in the world, that's where we are. That's where we are. We're in the world. I don't know how you feel about this old world we're living in today, but this place is just full of unrest. And this place is just full of chaos. And this place is just full of confusion. And this place, really, when you realize it all, this world is simply a wreck. You read the news, and everybody's fussing with everybody. People's getting ready to fight against these people. These people against these people. And these people don't agree with these people. And these people don't agree with these people. And they can't get together. They can't decide. And, the best descriptions of this mess is Washington, D.C. It's full of confusion. It's full of chaos. It's a wreck. Not only that, it's full of evil. And not only that, it's full of wickedness. And we wonder why and how come and how far this thing's going to go. You know, Isaiah told us a long time ago in Isaiah chapter 5, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's where we are, brother and sister. Evil today is called good. And good is called evil. He says they put darkness for light, light for darkness. This world's got everything all turned around. It's all backwards. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them. This is why. This is the reason why this world is in the shape and the condition it is. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Wise in their own eyes. And he goes on. He says, and prudent, that word prudent means intelligent or clever in their own sight. When man runs something, it's going to totally fall apart. It is totally going to be in chaos. This is the world, this is the world we live in. It's just full of confusion, chaos, wickedness, what have you. And what does Jesus say in his prayer when he prayed for you and I and the disciples in chapter 17, verse 14? I have given them thy word. That's this word. And the world hath hated them. So we're going to be hated by the world. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not part of that thing out there. We should have no... Well, he goes on. He says, I pray not that thou should take us them out of the world. We got to deal with that. We got to deal with the mess. We got to deal with the confusion. We have to deal with the chaos. We got to deal with all that stuff. He says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil, or the evil one, or the evil that's in the world. Or when they say that good is evil and evil is good, look at all things turning around. We must stand on the truth. So we are in the world. And he says, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. He says, ye shall. Not maybe, not might, not could have. He says, you will have tribulation. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What is tribulation? Well, you look it up in the Greek and it says a pressure. It's like a heavy weight pushing down on you. And there's a lot of other words like afflictions, trials, troubles, burdens, disappointments, discouragements. Jesus says you're going to have all that because we're here in this world. You're going to have it. It's going to happen. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe you're under something that is just, it's just pressing you down and you just don't know how you're going to get out of it. Or maybe you're just, I just can't take it anymore. Or maybe you're just ready to say, I just give up. I'm tired of it. I can't handle it. I'm through with it. The Savior is done. Are you there? We'll tell you about a couple. This couple got married, started a business. This business just flourished. Had children. Matter of fact, they had 10 children. Had 7 boys and 3 girls. And everything was going well. They had a relationship with God, prayed every day, prayed for their children. Everything was going well. And for Mr. and Mrs. Job, it just seemed like life was just... Till one day, Mr. Job was out doing what he was doing. Here comes a servant running. He says, Job, you know what happened? He says, the Sabaeans came, and they fell upon us, and they took all the asses, and all the oxen, and they killed all the servants, and I'm the only one left. And he barely got done talking, and here come another servant, and he says, Job, he says, we out there with all the sheep, and fire come down from heaven, and it came out of sheep, and it came out of servants, and I'm the only one left. And he got done talking, and another one come along, and he says, Job, he says, the Chaldeans came along, and they took all the servants, and they came out of servants, and I'm the only one left. And he barely got done talking, and another servant come out. He says, Joe, your children, they were in this house, and they were getting together and having a good time. And the wind came, and the house fell off. They're all dead. I'm the only one left. Less than a minute. What did Joe do? It says, Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and said, it's not fair. I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. Is that what he said? He said he worshiped. He prayed. What would your reaction be? You know, Martha and I, we live on 2.5 acres. We got a nice home. Got everything in it we ever would need, more than we need. There's a barn that sits out there. It's got all the garden stuff and lawn stuff and other stuff. There's a garage. It's got a car and a truck in it. You know, if all that was taken away, I could maybe handle that. But what about my children? Gone. Could you handle it? What would you do? What would your response be? Could you fall down and pray? Say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could you do that? You know, this afternoon, there's going to be a funeral. There's going to be one casket. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Job went to a funeral. There's 10 of them. 7 sons, 3 daughters. Never been to a funeral like that. They was. Not only was there 7 sons and 3 daughters, I don't know how many servants it took to take care of 11,500 animals.
That's what they lost. 11,500 animals. And all the servants, except for three that took care of the animals and one that escaped from the house. So there was a lot more funerals. A lot more funerals. Mr. and Mrs. Job probably attended. It was their servants. I think they took good care of them. I'm sure them servants had wives and had children. I don't know how long all that lasted. I don't know how long it was before it was over. But I know one day Mrs. Job was walking through the house. She was looking for her husband. He wasn't in the house. So she walks outside and she sees this thing sitting over here in this pile of ashes. And she walks over and she gets closer to it. And he's beyond recognition, as the Bible says. And she figures it out. It's her husband, and now he's sitting there in this pile of ashes, and he's got boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, and he's scraping himself with a piece of pottery, and it must have been the most disgusting sight she had ever seen. And she looked at that, and she seen him in all his pain, and all his agony, and his misery, and she says, "Oh, you can't take it anymore." Job just cursed God and died. "I would rather see you dead than see you in the misery and the pain you are." Job says, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Then he goes on and he says, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil?" And that word evil means adversity, affliction, and trouble. Says, why should we be so privileged to receive one and not the other? This is what Job was telling her here. What does Jesus say? He says, in the world you're going to have tribulation. Then what does he say? He says, but be of good cheer. Take heart. Have courage. You mean I'm supposed to be cheerful in the middle of whatever I'm going through? In the middle of whatever difficulty it is? Whatever the trial is? Whatever the tribulation is? I'm supposed to be cheerful? What the psalmist? Yes, he had a struggle of being cheerful. Psalm 42. I mean, he said, I am dry. I need water. I'm like a deer who is ran all day long. He says, he says, my soul thirsts after the living God. He goes on, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while he continually says, where is my God? He's saying, God, where you at? Where you at when I need you? He says, I remember when I went to the house of God with a voice and joy of praise. He says, I remember when I used to go worship and I was full of joy, full of praise. Now I don't even feel like worshiping. He says, why art thou cast out of my soul? Why art thou disquieting me? He says, deep calls into the deep, and the noise of my water spout. He says, thy billows and thy waves are gone over me. It's like this thing is pushing and pressing and pressing and pressing me down. I was saying to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Where are you at? Why don't you answer? Why do I mourn because of the oppression of my enemy? As when they stand in my bones, my enemies reproach me. I say, day, where is thy God? Where you at? You ever been there? Answer, please. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? That's what the psalmist says. What does the Apostle Peter tell us? 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, beloved, Verse 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you or to prove you or test you as some strange thing happened unto you. You know what the problem is we usually get all wrapped up in ourselves when we're in the middle of something and nothing's going right and it's all falling apart. We can't understand. We don't know where to go or which way to turn and don't feel like God's listening and he's sure not answering. And Peter says, why do you think that's so strange? Because of the fiery trial. I mean, this ain't something that's just here today and gone tomorrow. This may be something that lasts for a little while. He says, it's a fiery trial. It's just such strange thing. He says, why do you think it's so strange? Didn't you know? He goes on, he says, but rejoice. Well, have joy. I tell you, brother and sister, that's a struggle for this person. When you're right in the middle of the heat, is to have joy. He says, but rejoice as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You remember what 12 occurs? Jesus says, I have spoken unto you, that your sorrow may be turned to joy. It's one of the things he said, Romans chapter 5. What's the Apostle Paul tell us? He says, but not only so, but we glory in tribulation. That word glory means rejoicing. We rejoice in tribulation. We need Jesus. Or I do. In the middle of whatever it is. Because I'm kind of like a psalmist. Where are you, God? We need Jesus. We glory or we rejoice in tribulation, knowing, so this is something that we should know, that tribulation worketh patience or perseverance. That's what tribulation does. You know what? You get through one, you're going to have another one. And it may be a little tougher than the first one. And you get through the second one, you're going to have another. Ye shall have tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience, or it worketh perseverance. Well, he goes on, he says, and patience or perseverance, experience. That simply means character. We're being molded into the image of Jesus Christ. And character, and character experience, is hope. It gives us hope. It gives us an assurance and the confidence, again, that we can get through this thing. And hope maketh not ashamed, or it does not disappoint us, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Do you realize what he just said there? He says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's been given. It's been given to us. So we need to rejoice and have joy, and don't think it's some strange thing when we're in the middle of what we're in the middle of. Because in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Have heart, Jesus says. Why do we take courage when we have heart? Because what else does Jesus say? I have overcome the world. I've overcome. I've overcome the world. That word overcome means he has conquered, or he has prevailed, or he has got the victory. And we can too. What does We'll go over to Romans 8, verse 35. Paul writes words like this. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? It goes on, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Then he answers that question in verse 37. He says, no. He says, in all these things. Did you catch that? Not after it's over. He says, in all these things, in the middle of the persecution, in the middle of the distress, in the middle of whatever it is, he says, what? We are more than conquerors. We can be overcomers. We can be victorious. How? Through him that loved us. It's only through Jesus Christ. We need him. Desperately need him. We can be conquerors. We can be overcomers. We can be victorious. So how do we do this? How do we have joy in our tribulation? How do we overcome? How do we conquer? How do we not get depressed and down and whatever? There's one way. Only one way. We take our focus. And we have it over here. And we have focus over here. And we gotta get this focus. We gotta bring it together and bring it together and bring it together and bring it together. Till the focus is on the cross of Jesus Christ. That is where our focus must be. And where it has to be. Because of the cross, we can be conquerors. Because of the cross, we can be overcomers. Because of the cross, we can be victorious. Now, one of the four reasons why we focus on the cross. That's where our focus must be. Right there on the cross. We'll hear about it Friday night. Or, I don't know if you have Good Friday service or not, but that happens Friday. The cross. Now, 4 points. Everybody need more? We come up with 4. The cross is a manifestation and proof that God loves us. It's a manifestation and a proof that God loves us. What does Jesus say? In John 3:16, we know that. I like to personalize that. He says, we'll just do it this way. For God so loved you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. For God so loved us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that when I believe in him, when you believe in him, when we all believe in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn me, to condemn you, to condemn us, but that we, you and I, through him might be saved. Go to Romans chapter 5. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does John tell us? John, 1 John chapter 4. He says, in this is manifested or proof of the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Then he goes, herein is love, or this is the love that God has shown toward us. Not that we love God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his Son to be the propitiation or for the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus went to the cross for all of us. He went to the cross and he took our sins upon him.
You're going to hear this chapter next Saturday morning, probably. Isaiah 53. What does it say? It says, surely we have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. For he shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear the sin of many, and for he shall bear the sin of many, and make intercession for the transgressors. You know what the most beautiful verse in that whole chapter is? He, God, shall see the travail, that misery, the pain, the sorrow, the agony of his, Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. It's a proof of God's love to us. It's a proof of God's love to us. And because he loves us, because Jesus loves us, he understands. He understands where we are. He understands what we're going through. Have you ever felt rejection? Have you ever been rejected? Don't feel very good. It says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. The people he loved, the people he cared for, the people he came to save, they rejected him. What about in the garden when he had his close friends around him and the soldiers came and said, they all forsook him and left. You talk about rejection. Talk about something that maybe hurt. Well, when he needed them the very most, they split. Gone. Out of here. He was on trial and he came out and one of his closest ones was there by the fire. And he heard him with his own ears. He cussed and he swore and he says, I never knew the man. Jesus understands. What about ridicule? You ever been ridiculed? You ever been mocked? You know, they took Jesus and they put the soldiers, they called the whole band together. Put a purple robe on him, put a crown on his head, they start bowing down and say, Hail, King of the Jews! It's all a mockery. He's hanging on the cross, the leaders, the rulers, the elders, the chief priests, they come out and they got right into his face. You know, we that's not the way the Romans did it. They weren't that energetic. This dude was probably that far off the ground, and they could get right into his face. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. We'll believe you. Yeah, he said he could go to the temple 3 days. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He understands the mockery and the ridicule. You ever been humiliated? The Bible says he was spit on. Hung on a cross naked. For the whole world to see. He understands humiliation. What about pain? What about pain? So they blindfolded him and they buffeted him. That word buffet means to hit with a closed fist. They slammed him. Prophesy! Tell us who hit you! And it says they pulled out his beard. And he's bent over and they took the lash and they gave him stripes to his back was
beating. They took a crown of thorns and made it put on his head. So they took a reed and pounded that thing down upon his head. They took the nails and they put it in his head and they pounded them things up through his head. You understand? That was physical pain. But I think what was worse than the physical pain was the mental pain. When he knew the hatred and the animosity that them people had toward him. I think the external reflected the internal that he had. So he understands your pain. You ever been lonely? Maybe there's somebody sitting in here today that feels like they're lonely. Amongst this whole group, you just feel like you're just kind of all by yourself. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. They're all doing their own thing. Have you ever been there? Jesus understands loneliness. As he hung up there on that cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His own father turned his back upon him. He understands the loneliness. He understands what you're going through. He understands where you're at because the cross manifests and proves that he loves you. These things I have spoken unto you, that greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He did it for each one of us. For each one of us. John goes on and he says, behold, or look, what manner or what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us or given to us graciously, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. That's his love toward us. And it was manifested on the cross. We need to focus on that. Number two. God is always in control. You know, it don't seem like it sometimes. I'll just give you this example. You know, Pilate, he was in a dilemma. He had Jesus standing here before him, and he knew that this man was innocent. He knew he was delivered to him because out of envy of the Jews, and he had all these Jewish rulers and the chief priests and the scribes and all these people are over here watching him, and the pressure is on, and Pilate says, what am I going to do with this situation? And he says, hey, I got an idea. Over here in this prison cell, there's a man here. He's a thief. He's a crook. He stole. Not only that, one time he started a riot. Not only that, but in that middle of that riot, he killed somebody. So he's a thief and he's a murderer. He says, you know what? I'll bring him out here. I'll set these two men side by side. And, you know, there should be absolutely no question on which one they should choose to release. So he brought him out and he says, which one? And he said, Barabbas. I think Paul said, what? They said, Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! And I think all the people who had followed Jesus, who were kind of standing back, wondering what was going to happen, they said, what? Barabbas? Paul says, what do I do with Jesus? What do I do with him? And start out, crucify. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. They got louder and louder. I think a screech of Jerusalem rang out, crucify him. This is out of control. That's what they did. They crucified him. In this world, it seems like it's out of control. It just seems like everything's going chaotic. And it's a mess.
You know, God gives men a choice. He gives every one of us a choice. But he is in control.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created. If you create something, you are in control of what you create. That are in heaven, and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God is always in control. You remember these things I have spoken unto you? For without me you can do nothing. God is in control. We may not understand it all. It may look like it's a chaotic, confusing mess. But God is in control of every minute situation on this earth. Every one. And even in our lives. Our lives, sometimes we think our lives are just, they're just out of control. This is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. We don't know where to turn, we go here, we go there, and this happens and that happens. And sometimes we say, we just can't take it anymore. God is in control. He knows every circumstance of your life. He says he knows how many hairs are on your head. Why wouldn't he know all your circumstances? Why wouldn't he know what you're going through? He does. God is in control. Number three, he takes the worst and makes it for eternal good. He takes the worst and makes it for eternal good. You know, Jesus died on the cross. They nailed him here. He died there. He shed his blood there on the cross. That looked like the way. I mean, if you was a disciple and you seen the one you had followed for the last 3 and some years through all everything with it, you seen all the miracles, you had all the teachings, you had everything that Jesus had done, and all of a sudden he's hanging on the cross dead. The men were devastated. I mean, their world was shaken. The one they put their confidence in, the one they put their trust in, the one they put their belief in, he's dead. Hanging on the cross, dead. You know, there was two going down the road to Emmaus, and they were talking about this thing, and Jesus came up, they didn't know it was him, and he says, why is he so sad? Well, didn't you know? I mean, they crucified him. We ain't got no hope. I'm going to go home. He's dead. He's in a tomb. But you know, Jesus had to die on the cross. If he wouldn't have died on the cross, there wouldn't be no resurrection day this coming Sunday. There would be no resurrection day. He wouldn't rise from the dead. He wouldn't be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. So there had to be a death on the cross. That gloomy day, that gloomy day had to happen. For there to be a resurrection. And you know he shed his blood on the cross? If there wouldn't have been a resurrection day, that blood would have never had its power. It was because of the resurrection day that gives the blood the power to redeem us. It was because of the resurrection that gives the blood the power to cleanse us, and it gave the blood the power to save us. It's because of the resurrection day. Because he died on the cross. If he wouldn't die on the cross, if he wouldn't have rose again, there would have been no ascension. You know, that's important to you and I today, that he ascended back into heaven. Because when he ascended back into heaven, then he sent the power of his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And not only did he send his comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us, but what does he do? He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God as our great high priest, as our intercessor, interceding for you and for me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, Seeing then we have a great high priest, which is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or our faith, or our calling. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Brother and sister, that is so precious to us. He understands every circumstance. He understands every trial, every tribulation, every disappointment, every discouragement. He understands when the world gets pressing down. He understands when you get down. He understands when you're about to give up. He's standing there interceding for you and I. Moses, in all points to be like we are without sin. Then he says, let us therefore come boldly. And what boldly means, not arrogantly, but with assurance and with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy. And we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These things I have spoken unto you, that in my Father's house are many mansions. You want a mansion? And if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a mansion for us. It's what Jesus says. Not only that, but he says, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. He's coming again. Are you ready? It may be individually, like it was for Uncle Marvin. Well, maybe collectively, like for all of us. But you know what? It's how fast it's going to happen. Are you ready? Are you ready? He's coming again. He's at the right hand of the throne of the Father. When God says, it is enough, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? He is coming again. Number four. This is something that we got to get in our heads, and that is, God is greater than we will ever understand. He's greater than we'll ever understand. We will never fully understand God. What does Isaiah tell us? Chapter 55. Isaiah, this is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11, he says, oh, the depths, in verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. He said, we don't understand. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways passing out. For he hath known the mind of the Lord, for he hath been his counselor. For he hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom glory be forever. Amen. You know, brother, sister, friend, we may never know why. We may never know the whys. We may never know the how comes. We may never know the reasons for some of our tribulations. We may never know the reasons for some of our trials. We may never know the reasons for some of our disappointments. We may never know the reasons for some of our discouragements.
You may never know the reason for what you're going through if you're going through something today. You may never know the reason you're going through what you may go through for what you may go through tomorrow. Something is coming that you will go through. We may never know. You know what's interesting? God never, ever told Mr. and Mrs. Job why they went through what they went through. He never told them. Never did. We may never know. Is that okay? But there's one thing we do know. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. The Apostle Peter says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast all your care, all your anxieties. He says, give them all to Jesus. You know what my problem is? I give them all to Jesus, and then I take some of them back with me. That's my problem. He says, give them all, because he careth. That word careth means he has a deep concern. We are God's children. Any parent has a deep concern for his child. God has a deep concern for us. He cares. He has a deep concern. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He says, what we're going through here today in our lives, he says, it's not even worthy to be compared to eternity. You know, I've heard some people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why I went through this. This could stay here. When I get to heaven, I got other things on my mind. That's to see my Jesus face to face. But that's what he says. He says that I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be in us. The Apostle Peter, he tells us this. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. But he says, before that, this is what could happen. After that ye have suffered a while. And what's that suffering going to do? He says it's going to make you perfect. It's going to establish you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to settle you. Then he says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So our encouragement to you today is this. Focus on the cross. Keep your focus there. Don't put it over here. Don't put it over there. Keep your focus on the cross. Because the cross tells us that God loves us. Keep your focus on the cross. Because the cross tells us God is always in control. Keep your focus on the cross. Because the cross tells us that God will take every situation and make it eternally good. Keep your focus on the cross, because we will never understand the ways of God. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. May God bless us.